have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at two passages, Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to flip over to Philippians chapter number 3 and 4. That's where we'll end up today. I want to take just a minute. 29 years ago, my wife and I and Jeremy came to this church, and there was a couple here, Bill and Carol Stiltner. It's good to have you folks today. I saw them just walk in here. Great blessing to have them back today. And it was a great joy. There's three families were here when I came, and they are Brother Milburn, you and your wife over here, and Brother Frederick's back there and his wife. And as far as I know, those are the only three that were here. That's great. Everybody else, I don't know what happened. You know, but there were only two or three young people. My son was the third, and the Lord's been very good to us. I'm very thankful, Bill and Carol, are here this morning. Great to have you. You'll notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter number 13. There's one word I want you to notice we're going to look at this morning. It's the word content. People are not content today. They're not satisfied. The original Greek word here is autokras, which means satisfied from within. In other words, you don't need anything outside yourself. Well, if you'll notice, they used that word, but they didn't use that word satisfaction from within. There's a different satisfaction that comes, and it's not from self. It's from the Savior. And you'll notice, if you would, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Let your life, your words, everything be without, I want more. So he says, look, I want you to get to the point where you don't need more. This morning I'm going to give you three areas of your life that you ought not to want more because it's already taken care of. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 5, he says, and be content with such things as you have. That means if you've got a car, be content with it. It's good enough. It is that which satisfies your heart. Oh, it may have a scratch here or there. It may not have this thing or that thing, but it's sufficient. In other words, you're comfortable with it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, it tells us why everything we have in this life should be good enough. It tells us why there should be an inner peace. And it tells us why you and I ought not to have to be looking around and talking about all the things we need and we want. 4, verse 5, he hath said, I will never leave you, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. So the secret to contentment is letting the Lord fill your heart. Letting him be the satisfaction to your life. Now I want to take three areas and let you see through Scripture today. I want you to see from actual events how that Jesus Christ is the contentment of our heart. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to John chapter 4. I want you to see this verse. John chapter 4. You'll notice with me, if you would, contentment comes from salvation. Keep your finger there and turn to Philippians 3. John 4, Philippians 3. If you'll notice here in our church, we use our Bibles because it's the only book that God's given us. It's the instruction that we have from heaven. And I want you to notice, if you would, Philippians 3 and verse number 9, Paul said this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, in other words, not doing good to get to heaven, because that's not good enough, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, everybody in this room, you need the righteousness of God. The Bible says our good works are worthless to the Lord. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64 says. Oh, the best that we have is like an old grease rag out of the garage. And you say, Lord, here's my righteousness. And the Lord says, I don't want that. He said, I want the righteousness that's perfect, the one that was paid for on Calvary's cross. Now, notice, if you would, everybody in this room, he is our sufficient supply. He is our contentment in salvation. I want you to notice, contentment doesn't come from all the things you've done. Contentment in salvation, the security of salvation, does not come that you've been baptized or that you've joined a church or that you've got a good tithing record or any of that. Salvation is in a person. Contentment is in a person. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am enough. I am sufficient for you. I am your contentment in salvation. Notice, if you would, John 4, in verse number 6. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Let me tell you about this woman. She's a wayward woman. She's a woman that has a lot of sin. She's had five husbands, and she's living with a man now. And everybody in the city has separated from her because she is so wicked. And she doesn't live by any moral standard, God's or anybody else's. And the reason she came at noonday, no one comes to the well at noonday because it's hot. And you don't go there. You go early in the morning, late at night. But she went there not to be seen. She went there to get away from all the women that would look at her and talk about her behind her back. And she came to get water at the well. And Jesus was there that day at noon on purpose. And he was sitting on the well. And notice, if you would, the disciples are gone. So it's two people, Jesus and the most wicked woman of the town. And she comes up to draw water. And Jesus, in verse 7, said, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And she's shocked. Why? Obviously, from your attire, you're a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan. I'm part Jew and part not. And I haven't done the right thing. And she knows in her own heart. And she doesn't think he has any idea. And she said, here I am. I'm living with this guy. And I'm here on purpose not to see anybody. And this Jew asked me for a drink. Why does he care about me? Why would he ask me for anything? And notice, if you would, in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. She didn't even know about eternal life. If you knew the gift of God. And today I could tell you, if you knew the gift of God, that is the freedom from all sin. If you knew the gift of God, the peace of heart, the contentment that comes when Jesus comes into your heart by invitation from you, exercising your faith, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I sure would like it if you'd come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry. Jesus takes up abode in our heart, and peace comes. Contentment comes. The contentment comes that he's taken you to heaven and nobody else. So notice what she said. What he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked, and he would have, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now all of a sudden she says, living water? What is that? Water that I never have to drink again? You know what he's saying? Once you trust me as your Savior, contentment's forever. I come into your heart and give you a settled peace that is permanent. Do you have that peace this morning? Is your contentment in a person? Is your contentment that you're going to heaven, your assurance, your settledness that you're on your way to heaven in Jesus Christ this morning? I don't mean things that you've done. You'll notice to hear that she's not done anything good. But she comes to the well at noon to get away from everybody and meets this one that says, I've got living water. I've got a gift for you. Now, this morning, if you go back to the visitor's desk, I have a gift for you. You don't pay for it. It's free. It's paid for by somebody else, the families of this church. But now, it's just something. It won't last forever. It's not the gift of eternal life. You can only get that from a person, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not from a church. It's not from a group of people. It's not something you can earn. It is a free gift for everybody in this room. And today, if you say, you know, Pastor, there's a little bit of turmoil in my heart. I'm not completely sure I'm going to heaven today. You lack the contentment of God, the settledness in your heart, the harmony between you and the God of heaven. You need the Lord Jesus this morning. If you'd step out of your seat, you'd come forward this morning, you can trust Christ to save you. I was saved 51 years ago last Sunday. at church in Texas. And there, that contentment's been in my heart this morning. I got up and said, Lord, thank you for the contentment that's been in my heart all these years. Thank you for giving me peace, the gift of eternal life. If you're here today and you don't have that gift, you can have it. It's for everybody in this room. You may be someone that's ostracized by the rest of society. You may be someone that you don't feel good enough to go to church. But I want you to know something. You're good enough for Jesus, and that makes it good enough for us. You've got to trust Christ as Savior this morning. And the way you do that is realize you're a sinner, step out in the aisle, come to this front, just like I had to do, and I'll get someone to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you have the gift of eternal life, just like this woman. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 26, 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And the next thing, she runs into town. At that moment, she trusted Christ as her Savior. And she goes running into town. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 29, verse 28, the woman that left her water pot, she got so excited about having contentment in her heart and peace, it was instantaneous. She gets that peace in her heart and went in her way into the city and said to the men, she goes right up to the people that had ostracized her and said, hey, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you know what happened? She said, well, you know, she palavered about religion, and Jesus looked at her and said, look, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not yours. She said, well, I've heard there's a Messiah that's going to come one of these days. And Jesus said, I'm that speaking to you, I'm he. And she got all excited, and she said, the Holy One of God has come to meet me alone at the well. I'm that important to him. And I want you to notice something. You're that important to him, and he'll save you this morning. Notice, if you would, not only he has the contentment in salvation, but he's the contentment in situations. Everybody in this room, we get into, quote, situations. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Mark 4. I want you to see a situation. Mark 4. Notice with me, if you would, Mark 4, verse number 35. Jesus Christ is the contentment in situations. Now, maybe you've had a situation had this week that's happened to you. Maybe you had a struggle at work. Maybe you had a struggle with a relative. Maybe you had a struggle within your own heart. Something within. Maybe you've done something and you're just regretting it. Maybe there's just something in your heart, but there's no contentment in your heart. Notice, if you would, it may be that you got angry at someone this week, and there's just this something in your heart that's in turmoil. It's a situation. Maybe you don't know what to do about your job. You don't know what to do about a house. You don't know what to do about a car. Maybe somebody, Brother Scott is the most fortunate guy I know of. He parks his car in front of his house and people run into it. And so he has to go get, he got another car out of it, got a nice car out of it the second time. And the other day, he parked it there again. Somebody ran into it again. And so if you need a new car, go park it in front of Scott's house and somebody hit it. And that way you can get it all taken care of. Now, you know, I remember him coming in and saying, man, I don't know what to do. He was going on vacation. And he's going on vacation. He said, my car, it's not the car. You know, it doesn't have the room. There was a car we were going to take on vacation. And so I said, I don't know what to do, Pastor. And so we are praying about it. And Lord, you know about this situation. And so Brother Scott says, well, you know, they gave me a rent car, but, you know, I'm going to go 1,000 miles down to Florida to see my family. And, you know, I don't have to, I'm not going to get back in time. They're going to have my car ready. And I don't know what to do about it. And you know, he began to pray. And Lord, it sure would be nice to take this car with 3,000 miles on it from the rental place to where I can take it on vacation. It's really nice, nicer than my car. We can take it on vacation and no miles on my car and come back and get my car to be fixed. And you know what? That's what the Lord did. And so he came back. How was your vacation? It was wonderful. But before he went, his car was wrecked 2 days before, a day or two before. And he's sitting there saying, oh my, what are we going to do? Maybe you got a situation like that. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, notice here, here's the situation. Notice, if you would, verse 35. The same day when the even was come, it's evening time, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent them away, notice this, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. So it's Jesus Christ gets in the ship, and notice if you would. And there were also with him other little ships, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind. Now let me ask you this question. Did Jesus know the storm was coming? Amen. Absolutely he did. Did Jesus know that Scott's car was going to get damaged? Yes, he did. Does Jesus know that you're about ready to lose your job? Yes, he does. Does Jesus know about your health issue? Yes, he does. It's a situation. And you and I lose contentment because fear hits our heart. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6? And it says, the fear of man. I need something to take care of the fear that's natural in all of our hearts. The fear of what if. And there's one person that takes care of the fears of what if, that's never met a storm he didn't know about, that never saw a storm come that he didn't plan to come. And he's working in our lives to get us to learn to trust him. Notice, if you would, Mark chapter 4, verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Anybody here ever had your ship full of water? You're wondering, how am I going to make it? Maybe your credit card's full of bills. How am I going to make it? Maybe your check is all taken up. How am I going to make it? Maybe you're facing a doctor's appointment and you know you don't have the money for the deductible. Or maybe you don't even have health insurance. There are people like that all over the world. I remember one time I was counseling a young couple, and on the fourth or fifth session, I always go through finances, and young couple, and come to find out he had $500,000 worth of debt because of no health insurance one time. They didn't get married. It didn't work. She said, I don't know. Now, I guess her love was only $400,000 worth of love, not $500,000 worth of love. And they didn't get married. You know, it's a situation to where, you know, what am I going to do, Lord? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to handle this? Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, help me. It's a situation. Notice what, if you would, this is the one thing we don't want to do in a situation. And he was in the hinder part of the ship. Keep in mind, the ship's full of water. They're bailing for all their might. Notice, if you would, asleep on a pillow. What does that tell you? He's not worried about our health. He's not worried about your finances. He's worried about nothing. He's asleep at perfect peace in the midst of the storm. And it's raging. And our natural inclination is to say, we're not going to make it. Oh, no. Maybe there's a relationship that's fractured a bit. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? How are we going to make it? And so you're worried about things. Do you understand that God is not worried? And he is to be our contentment in every situation. Well, notice what happens. And he was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. And they said the dumbest thing in all the world. And saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know why fear comes in all of our hearts? Because we think that. Lord, don't you care about me? What's going to happen? You may not say it, I may not say it, but we're thinking it, or we're feeling it. Lord, I'm in the midst of trouble here. Can't you help? There's a doubt of the sufficiency of our God to help us in any situation. And we have to learn to be contented in the midst of the storm, asleep on the pillow. Notice what he says in verse number 39. I like this. He doesn't say a word. In this passage, he just gets up. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. He gets up, gets off his pillow. Quiet. Be still. The wind stopped. The water, clear like glass. And the guys looked at the other. Notice what happened. And he said unto them, why are you so, what's that word? Fearful. How is it that you have no faith? Faith in whom? Jesus Christ. A lack of faith in him, a lack of contentment in him, an internal assurance that he cares for you, an internal assurance that he will take care of you. Today, have you got a situation in your heart? Are you afraid of something? You know, if I were to ask today, how many of you have had, you've had little children? You have little children or you had them? Raise your hand. Raise it up. Good night. Okay. How many of you ever had your children get out of bed and come into your room and say, Mommy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared. How many ever had that? Let me see your hands. Okay. All right. If you got little children, that usually happens. You want to know why? They don't know. Now who are they coming to? Maybe you got the sheets up over your head too. But you're going to pull them down long and say, it's okay, honey, don't you worry. Daddy's got this. Shh, and you go back to bed. Do you understand fear can take over every person's heart in your house? But you would not dare let on to your children that there's any problem at all. How many of you ever gotten out of bed in your almost nothings and you got a baseball bat and you're walking around the house? Or you got up and you had some defensive weapon. You got a knife. You don't know how to use it. I remember one lady, I heard the story. She had a shotgun and she heard burglars downstairs. And she went to the rail of her second floor and cocked the gun. And she heard as they're running out the door. Didn't have to say anything more. Do you know what? There's a God in heaven that doesn't need a shotgun. He said, I am. I'll take care of you. And so he looks at the wind, says, shh, quiet. Peace, be still. I don't think he likes it when we don't trust him in the midst of the situation. What would you say if your little girl looked at you and said, Daddy, I'm scared. And you said, I'll take care of you, honey. Yeah, but I don't believe that, Dad. How'd you feel? Hey, honey, I'm scared. Dad, I'm scared. There's something in my room, I think, and it's under my bed. And Dad, would you help me? I remember thinking that it was outside coming in the window. I remember that. I still have a picture, a mental picture. I don't know how old I was. I had to have been 6 or 8. Couldn't have been any older than that. Surely not, because I wouldn't have been scared then. I hope not. If it was 12, I wouldn't tell you about it. So, you know, I remember being there and hearing something on my windscreen, and it was going back and forth, and it just terrified me. It's the last time I remember being afraid. And it was just, and what it was a plant outside. The wind was blowing, and it was scratching on the screen of the window, and I just knew somebody was coming in the window. I just didn't know when. So I pulled up the sheets just as much as I could. And I said, I think I can get to Dad, but I'm not sure. And I'm sitting there and terrified. I'm trying to wonder what to do. And I lay there in absolute fear and agony. And my dad was right in the next room. You know what? He wasn't worried one bit. The next morning, I tried to tell them, and come to find out, it was just that plant on the outside of the window. And my dad would have taken care of it anyway. You know what? It's very disappointing to a father if the child comes in and says, Daddy, I'm scared. And the child looks at you and says, Honey, I got this. Don't worry about it. And you looked at them and said, Yeah, but Dad, I don't think you can take care of it. Wow. We'd stand up and throw out our chest and say, What? We'll take care of it. I'd defend you to the death. The Lord Jesus stands up and says, Quiet, be still. Notice what happens. In verse number 40, and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? That is why we have no contentment, a lack of faith in Jesus Christ, that he can handle any situation. So whatever situation you're facing today, Jesus Christ can take care of it, and you got to believe in him. That's the reason he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a promise of God. So you've got a great Father in heaven that controls the universe, and he says, I'll take care of your situations if you'll trust me. Notice what happened in verse number 41. And they still feared. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They didn't even have the faith to believe he could do it again. And they didn't have the faith to believe that he would do it for them. Do you understand? God would do anything for you if you would trust him. Why? He's already proven it. Do you know what? Do you know what that cross means? It's a symbol. I love you more than all. He'll do anything to help take care of the situations you face if we trust him. You know what we need to do? How many of your children came to the side of the bed? They're scared. They said, Mom, Daddy, I'm scared. What did you do? Some of you did this. You said, come up here and get in bed with me and don't worry about it. How many of you did that? Let me see your hands. You know what? That's what we need to do with the Lord. Lord, can I get close to you? You know what he says in James? Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh to you. I'll put my arm around you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Are you exercising your faith and have contentment in your heart? There's a lot of things going on in my life, but I know who's going to take care of it. Notice the last one. I want you to see this. He is our contentment in salvation and in situations. He's our contentment in supply. I want you to notice it with me, if you would, Philippians 4. Notice, if you would, I love this verse in verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now, understand this. It's a learned process. It's not natural. I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, we get to the point where we're not sure if God can supply our need. We doubt him. If I were to mention great men of old, how many of you would think they doubted God too? It's a natural thing for us. If I were to name for you some great men, I think you would say, no, they never doubted the Lord. Take your Bible and turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I want you to see Numbers 11. I want you to notice this is the children of Israel. They're outside. They're right next to the promised land, but they're scared to go in, and they haven't had good food in their mind, water, and they're complaining about how wonderful Egypt was when they were beaten and slaves and had no options and ate leeks and garlics and fish, and they were just miserable, and they were praying to God to get them out of it, but they didn't have enough food in their mind, and so they said, boy, sure be nice to have some meat, and so they cried out to Moses and says, why don't you give us meat to eat? And he said, I can't give any meat to eat. And there's this battle going on, and they don't believe there's enough that God can do, that God cannot supply their needs, so they're complaining. Anybody here ever complain because of a lack of supply? You don't have enough of something? Well, the children of Israel are complaining. And so the Lord says to Moses, he said, okay, look, I hear them complaining. Notice, if you would, in verse 18. This is Numbers 11, 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. So God heard their complaint. Now keep in mind, This was not a sweet complaint, a sweet prayer. Lord, would you provide for us meat to eat? Lord, would you take care of us? Would you supply for us? This was a bitter complaint. God, you've forsaken us. Lord, we want meat to eat. It was the wrong attitude. And notice, if you would, in verse 18, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. Notice, if you would, verse 19, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 21, now this is the Lord speaking to Moses. He said, I'm going to give them food. I'm going to give them meat for a whole month. And Moses says, but Lord, notice what he says in verse number 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. You think God can't count Moses? Notice, if you would. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Listen to Moses' question. Is this any different than, Lord, do you not care for us? We're going to drown. Notice what he says. Verse 22, shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them? Lord, are you going to have to empty all the fish of the sea? My, how simple-minded man is. Lord, you can't pay this bill. Lord, you see how much it is? It's $400. My brakes are, I need new tires, Lord. That's $1,000. Lord, I need new tires. Lord, I need a new, blank. Do you see this? And God says, oh, my. Have him sell a couple cattle off of his 1,000 hills. The Lord says, I can do anything. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Notice what he says in verse number 22. And all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them. And the Lord said unto Moses, folks, I pray that God doesn't say this to any of us, but I'm sure he does. And I'm sure he says it to all of us, because our faith is weak in his supply. The Lord said unto Moses, now this is not some Joe Blow. This is not Dave Pittman he's speaking to. Somebody of no value or consequence. This is the one that he's called to lead his children of Israel into the promised land. Perhaps one of the most important people in the Old Testament. And he says, Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. He says, Moses, do you think my arm has gotten shorter? You're going to see what I can do. And then all of a sudden, you know what God does? He brings in a wind, and there come quail. And he says, I put quail 2 foot deep around your city where you're staying, 2 foot deep as far as you can see. And they went, and they gathered food and gathered food and gathered food. I'm sure Moses said, oh, Lord, I am so sorry I doubted you. As he looks, and those quail come in and die. Fly in and die. No shotguns. No nothing. The hand of God is not short to supply for every need in the people of this room. You're God's favorite people on earth if you know him as Savior. He will supply your need. You'll notice the reason he doesn't. Lord, could you sacrifice all the fish in the sea to take care of this? Do you understand today? It's not about things. It's about who controls the things. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to read back the last verse with me, Hebrews chapter number 13. And I want you to see. Hebrews 13. Let's read it one more time and let's look at it together. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh, we sure would like to have. Be content with such things as you have. You got an old yellow truck, be happy with it. You got an old red beat-up beater, be happy with it. Because contentment is not in things. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now you know why you and I have contentment. Because our God is here. He is always with you. You'll never lose him. Notice, I like this part. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That is where contentment comes from. The Lord is my helper. He'll take care of my job. The Lord is my helper. He'll take care of my son that's sick. The Lord is my helper. He'll take care of my wife. He'll take care of my husband. The Lord is my helper. He will take care of the bill that I cannot pay. I don't have any idea how I'm going to do this. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Today, are you carrying a fear? The fear of going to hell. The fear of the situation you're in. The fear that there's no way to provide what you're facing. Today, I want you to understand, contentment, inner peace, inner settledness comes from a person. It's you and Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice, if Jesus Christ is here, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How did we get over here and say, Lord, don't you care? Because we left him. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Today, could I urge you to draw nigh to the Lord? Could I get you to bring your situation to this altar and say, Lord, it's me. Maybe your name's not Moses, but it's Bob or Tom or Mary or David. You're just as important. He paid the same price for your soul as he did Moses. Will you come today and bring him your fears and walk away with contentment? Let's bow our heads for the prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Have thine way, Lord. The Lord loves you today. You're of the utmost importance to him. Maybe you don't believe that. The disciples didn't believe it when they were in the boat and it was full of water. Moses didn't believe it when he was leading 600,000 men without women and children. And God said, I'll provide food. Folks, it's the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, if I died, I don't know I'm going to heaven. There's a little doubt in my heart. Folks, if you have any question or doubt, come get it settled this morning and leave with contentment. Jesus is the difference, and him alone. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to our feet and sing. Would you let the Lord have his own way in your heart, in salvation, in a situation, in the supply of your life? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. And dear Lord, thank you for allowing me to be able to point out your sufficiency in Scripture. Lord, your ability to provide every need. Lord, I pray that you'd help people to move this morning. Forget anybody else who's in the room. And lay their fears on this altar, knowing you can do anything. And you will. In your name we pray. Amen.